Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome, everyone, to America's Jobs Team. This is Carla, and I am really excited about the interview that you're going to be hearing here shortly. We have on the podcast today Philip Marshall from Navigator Consulting. And Philip is a very special site consultant. He spends most of his time in Germany working with European companies as they begin an investment journey into the United States. And I'm really excited to hear his feedback and his insights into leadership. He has specifically worked projects and is most known for GIS-based location analytics for Navigator's European client base. He has went to school for geography and economics. And I think I mentioned this, but he lives in Germany, works many, many projects in both European companies as well as the United States. And his insights today are going to be fantastic. So listen in as we talk to Philip from Navigator Consulting. Philip, I am so excited for you to be on the podcast today. You have a fascinating leadership journey, and I am excited for the listening audience to get a look inside of your world. And I know this morning you're in Germany, and it's 3 p.m. and we're in America and it's 9 a.m. But we're going to get started. And I was just laughing with Faye, who's the producer of this podcast, that we're one cup of coffee in and ready to go. And you're probably getting ready for your afternoon coffee so that you can get ready for the craziness of an evening. But if you're ready, let's get started here.
Yes, I'm ready and excited.
All right. Well, we're going to get started with a question that I like to start off with because I think it's really fascinating to hear people talk about. We all face challenges as leaders. And I'm curious for you, Philip, what's one of the biggest challenges that you feel like leaders are facing today? You know, we're living in a global economy. Politics are a little bit wacky right now. There's all kinds of things that we're facing that are different than even 10 years ago. If you had to say, from your perspective, what is the biggest challenge that you think that leaders are facing today?
Let me tackle this in the way that I'll explain what I think for me is the biggest challenge. And then maybe also because I'm aware that this podcast is also very much focused on the EDO leadership world. And as we work with economic developers throughout the States a lot, maybe I can give some insights in what I've seen probably might be also very challenging for EDO professionals as well. I think what's really quite a challenge for me, and this might sound strange, but in the consulting world, what you're being asked to do is kind of be an expert on several topics. And nowadays, we really live in the world with information overload. And when it comes to things like site selection and finding information out, you know, how do you make a difference? How do you have that knowledge that is required in that job? And talking about, you know, just the little things of kind of staying on track of recent investment developments and know what is going on. And site selection is really a tricky business where you have a whole variety of different things that you need to have knowledge about: geographic, economic, political events, even technological knowledge when you deal with manufacturing companies and they're entering a market with a new product. So I think a real challenge is staying on top of the game, you know, knowing, getting your information, staying informed about these things. And one example, I always kind of cringe when I get in a question from somebody. So have you heard of that investment? Wow, that's a game changer for region X or Y. And I say, oh yeah, well, I actually haven't heard about it. Well, that is a game changer. And it's, you know, it's something that maybe you ought to know, but difficult to know these things in this world where so much information is available, changes so rapidly. So to me, that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And I'm young path of my career. So the challenge of needing to adjust to new circumstances hasn't really been that much yet. So maybe those challenges will be different in 10 years' time or so.
No, I think that's a really, really good point that you're making about just the influx of information. And I'm not sure that it will change in 10 years. I mean, I feel like when I hear, you know, people who are in the later end of their career, they're still saying the same thing, like just trying to keep up and absorb all the information, and it's ever changing and there's so much, is really a huge challenge. And I think it's regardless of what stage of career. I think the challenge is just how do you structure your time and figure out the right way for you to absorb what you need to absorb and not get distracted by the junk.
That's correct. And you know, some people are better than that, others are not. I haven't really figured out the perfect strategy. Obviously, you need to somehow standardize it and have really something down where you have a certain amount of newsletters that you read through. You have a certain amount of things that you track. And you know, some people are just more, I don't know, you said absorb, some are just more spongy than others. You know, they can take in information, recollect it on the spot. For me, it's sometimes difficult to make sense of all of these new things constantly. So yeah, quite a challenge.
Absolutely. Well, you're not alone in that. I'm right there with you.
Right.
Jealous of the sponges who always seem to have the perfect quote and the perfect news fact, and like they know the stat on the spot. And I'm sitting there thinking, I feel like I might have read something about that.
Right. I think to finish this up, I think from an EDO perspective, that is certainly also the case. It's similar, although I think they will definitely want to be focused on really knowing the region very well. And I think that is something that most of them really have down. I think it's a bit different and maybe even a bit more complex because for them, what I've seen really in the past 5 years of working in this field now is having a unique message for investment prospects is really something of a struggle because you're living in this world where, you know, everyone's talking about workforce, everyone's talking about logistics, everyone's talking about we can serve this many people in that region, kind of ubiquitous accolades that many regions can say of themselves. How do you have a unique message and kind of get it through so you are being recognized in that, you know, in that, again, world of information overload? And also what we always preach is, as we work mainly with international clients, is how can you adjust your message to different cultural settings? You know, whereas with an American, you might want to be more emotional in your messaging. With a European or German client, you know, you want to be more factual. So these are the things that I think a lot of EDOs in their daily lives don't really think about. And that becomes quite a challenge if they really try to really think about the unique messaging and adjusting their messaging.
That's awesome advice for everybody who's listening out there, you know, to keep that message not only factual, but also to adjust it and adjust the style. That's really, really good. A good point, Philip. So I'm going to ask you another question here. And this one is about who is an example for you. When we think about characteristics that leaders should possess and the people that we look up to, is there a certain person or a certain characteristic of leadership that really has inspired you and that you believe that, you know, every leader should have that secret sauce?
I mean, I could certainly say is that our managing director, James Blair, has been quite an influence on me because he's been in the site selection world for a good 30 years now. And I've learned a lot from him. I mean, really breaking it down, and this might seem kind of boilerplate now, but I think what I admire in him and in other great leaders is just the soft skills and just the amount of communicative skills, being humorous, being funny in the right moment, being convincing in the right moment, kind of feeling the situation. It's really kind of difficult because at the end of the day, it's not what you know and how smart you are. It's kind of like how you can really get a good feeling for what you need to say. And I think great networkers possess this ability as well. So I think this is something that if you really want to grow ultimately in a leadership position, it's not how much factual knowledge you have, because we just discussed that, how much how smart you are. It's kind of really how, it's kind of like that emotional IQ. It's the soft skills and communicative skills.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we see leaders all of the time who are so smart and so on top of their game, but then just kind of miss things in the moment, like miss the timing, miss the pulse of the room. And that can really make or break somebody's reputation and just their ability to shine in a moment. And I think having great leaders that have that good impulse, finding those people and really watching how they can read a room is a great learning opportunity.
Right. And here again, you know, that those intercultural competence, that really comes in handy, especially the way the project that we work and how we see that, you know, intercultural competence, economic development leaders who kind of know how to read the other, you know, be it a French client, be it a Japanese client or a German client, approaches are always very different. And they're certainly much different from what you would do when you have someone, you know, from a different part or a different state of the country. I mean, this is something very important. And one more point I'm trying to make here is because I'm also saying that I kind of want to look at the through the lens of an economic developer. It's interesting. Let me give you an example, because leadership training for economic developers is actually something that we do in working with communities and economic development organizations. And some workshops that we've done in the recent past, is one exercise that we always do is we go in and we ask the assembled local leadership, what is the most important thing an investment prospect is looking for in your community? And, you know, then we go to the whiteboard and you get answers. And obviously all of them are good: workforce, ready sites, real estate, good logistics, quality of life, incentives. And very rarely do we get response that actually triggers us to move on and say, this is the correct one. And really, ultimately, what we want to hear is local leadership. That's the number one thing anyone is looking for, because without this leadership, all the other things cannot and won't fall into place. Because workforce, it's all human activity and it's all people standing behind it. You need to have the right people who, for any specific project, train the right people. And you have to have the right people who develop your site to the specific needs of a prospect. Yeah, quality of life is always something that community can strive when you have people very engaged in the community. And I think economic developers need to be that glue. They need to be the intermediaries between all those local parties that make this happen, that make community thrive. So yes, I think characteristics, great communicative skills, multitasking, and kind of like being someone who convincingly brings everyone together is probably the number one characteristic an economic development leader needs to have.
I love it. That's a great answer. So I'm going to ask you, kind of on the flip side, you know, we've all seen great leaders who have had a characteristic or have done something that has really derailed their career or negatively impacted their career at least. Is there a certain characteristic? Let me start there. Is there a certain characteristic that you've seen derail people's careers? And how do you guard and protect yourself from going down that same road?
Mm-hmm. Well, thinking about it, I wouldn't really know what case or really experience. I can't really talk from experience here. I have not yet been in too many positions where I've seen, whoa, my boss has really blown it. That was the thing that got him fired. So it's kind of difficult for me to answer, but at the expense of another boilerplate response here, maybe I think if you're too arrogant and selfish in your behavior and think you can do things better, and even though you are the number one person and the one with the most experience, if you're not listening to advice or criticism from team members, I think ultimately that would probably be the most deteriorating behavior or quality. I think ultimately that would derail your career, so to speak. So I hope that's not too standard, but lack of experience here, I think I can't really give any better response.
I think that's a great response. And I think it's always such a good reminder, because as people elevate in positions, and even if you're not the CEO or the, you know, point leader, as people gain more experience and get some more wins and get more confidence, which is great, it's great to have all of those things. It's really important to keep that ego in check and to know that there's always still learning to be done. And so listening and really heeding the advice of the people around you is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think especially in the times, and I think this is something we're going to talk about as well, but, you know, in recent times where technology is coming so important in every aspect of our lives, personal, but also in the business setting. You know, I'm just saying that even I'm already old enough to say in some instances, you know, oh God, that young guy, he's using this app or that app and I'm not using it. So I'm already in that age where this is happening. And I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Older people can relate where they say, we definitely have to listen to, you know, even to the intern who might have the great idea and who knows things that we don't know.
Yes, absolutely. So speaking of advice, if you were going to be giving advice to somebody who's going into a role similar to yours for the first time, so kind of, you know, leading projects and really kind of starting to be point leader on projects and working really hard for these companies or in a community, an economic development leader in a community, what advice would you give somebody who's kind of entering that role for the first time?
I think it would probably be just that. You really have to stay open constantly for new ideas and new ways of doing things. I think that's paramount. One example of having done so many things in so many templates and in the normal business setting, working with programs and software, and, you know, then something new comes along and it's difficult to adjust yourself, and you're kind of locked in into a strain of just a standard way of doing things, and that can very quickly be very inefficient. And I think this is something that every leader has to know, that they have to be open to new things and kind of like being able to adjust quickly.
Yeah, that's great. So one last question for you, Philip, and then we'll let you get back to your afternoon. But when you think about your career, and I know you have a long career ahead of you, you're just getting started, and it's so refreshing and exciting to hear people who are just kind of fresh out of the gate and have a fresh outlook, and kind of their world is still, you know, forming around what they're going to do in this business and how they're going to activate their own leadership. But when you think about your career so far, what has made you the most proud? Is there a certain project that stands out or a certain accomplishment that you have achieved or anything that really kind of makes you stand out and you say, you know, looking back on the last 5 years, that moment made me really proud of what I'm doing?
Yes, great question. Because I think ultimately this is what you should try to strive for in your job, in your career. It's not how much money you earn. I think it's something that of just genuinely makes you feel happy and accomplished. And I think, just generally speaking, I am very proud in being able to foster transatlantic partnerships and bilateral trade relationships, and really doing something that brings different cultures together, even though it's kind of in a business sense. But still, I think as someone who has both American family and German family living in both countries, that's probably one of the most things that makes me most proud, is that I have a job and a career that allows me to continue to grow those relationships. And maybe in certain cases and instances, what really makes me proud is when you've had a project where you just know that ultimately the new location where a company is settling, the community and the company, it's just a great fit. And it's a win-win situation. the company will strive in that new location. And oftentimes we work with companies that are very closely family managed, and you can kind of get an insight into how the company works and what its history was and what a big new step this is, because these are some of the most important company decisions as to expand into a new market. And then on the other side, seeing the community leadership, knowing that, you know, this will be very important for them in terms of job creation. So I think I won't mention any specific project or any specific case, but, you know, working a project and having those announcements and knowing that, you know, the company is going to strive in that location and the community is going to have new investment and new jobs, that makes me very proud to have played a part in that.
Well, Philip, proud you should be, because making those relationships are hard, even if you're in the same country and living under the same kind of laws and governance. And so being able to do that for so many different companies and so many different countries is truly admirable. And, you know, I hear you saying, you know, for some companies, this is a really huge, huge decision, and being their guide along that path and being able to have companies trust you just speaks volumes about your leadership and your professionalism. And I just am looking forward to great things to come as you continue to grow in your leadership. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It was truly a joy to have you. You're such a humble person, and it's just a delight to be able to hear your insights on today's podcast. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, great. Thank you, Carla. It was really, really interesting for me as well. It was great to be on.
Hey, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed the interview with Philip as much as I did. I find him to be really impressive, and I'm looking forward to seeing where his career continues to go with Navigator Consulting and the work that they're doing. You're going to want to tune in next week. I have an opportunity to chat with Dan Breen from Jones Lang LaSalle. And Dan has been in this business for a while and just has a lot of different leadership insights. Every time I'm around Dan, he says something that is quote worthy. So get your notebooks out and tune in next week to listen along with Dan Breen.